Freedom to Say Yes, a compilation.
Pioneer Christian Apostle Paul wrote, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy comparing with the glory that is to be revealed." These are not the words of an armchair philosopher, but of a man who had seen and experienced life at its rough end, unjustly suffering frequent beatings and imprisonment, and experiencing much deprivation and hardship. At times I try to imagine what this glorious realm is like, but we cannot yet see that realm, and so we are left with many ragged ends, many burning problems of injustice. In light of them, another question looms large. Is there nevertheless enough reason to trust God with the ultimate outcome? Indeed, did it really have to be like this in the first place? Surely a God who is all-powerful could have prevented all this horrendous evil and suffering simply by creating human beings incapable of doing evil? Well, he could surely have made beings like that, but they would not have been human beings, would they? Let me try to explain. An essential and wonderful part of being human is that we have been endowed with the capacity to love. Love involves saying yes rather than no to another, and would be rendered meaningless if the capacity to choose between those two alternatives did not exist. In other words, the ability to love is intimately linked with the possession of what we call free will. We are aware, of course, that the freedom implied is not unlimited. We are not free to do everything. For instance, I am not free to run at 60 miles per hour. Nevertheless, for a being to be free to say yes, it must be free to say no. To be free to love, it must be free to hate. To be free to be good, it must be free to be evil. God could have removed the potential for hatred and evil at a stroke by creating us automata, mere machines doing only that which we were programmed to do. But that would have been to remove all that we ourselves value as constituting our essential humanity. There is inevitably a built-in risk with creating beings with real powers of choice. We humans should know that, since we do something similar when we have children. We know that any children we generate could grow up to love us. We also know that they could turn out to reject us. Why, then, have children? For most of us, the hope and desire for the love of children far outweighs the risk of their rejection of us. We would not wish our children to be degraded to machines, nor will God simply degrade human beings. John C. Lennox. Freedom is a challenge to say yes. The Lord gives us a vocation, a challenge to discover the talents and abilities we possess and to put them at the service of others, the Pope said June 1st in the square before the Palace of Culture in Iași, Romania. He asks us to use our freedom as a freedom to choose, to say yes to a loving plan, to a face, to a look. This is a much greater freedom than simply being able to consume and buy things. It is a vocation that sets us in motion, makes us fill in trenches and open up new avenues to remind us all that we are children and brothers and sisters to one another. Catholic News Agency. God gives us freedom to choose our own path. The quest for freedom is a theme found throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. Just 3 chapters into the story of God's creation, humanity gave up its freedom by choosing to rebel against God. From that time forward, the perfect freedom God created in the Garden of Eden was gone, and the long-term effects were both physical and spiritual. Today, many people are living in spiritual slavery without realizing it. They chase false gods of money, success, personal comfort, and romantic love, only to realize they still have an emptiness that can't be filled by any of those things. God created human beings, not robots. We don't have to accept the freedom He offers us through Jesus Christ. He gives each person the free will to accept or reject His salvation. From cover to cover, God's Word points to freedom in Christ. And God doesn't leave us wondering how to grab hold of the freedom He offers. It starts with acknowledging our brokenness and admitting we are slaves to sin. And it ends with choosing Jesus and following Him daily. Only He can break the bonds of slavery and lead us to true freedom now and forever. Billy Graham, Evangelistic Association. Let all your things be done in love. The Lord will hardly ever make you do anything. He likes you to freely choose and yield to Him because you love Him. He always prefers volunteers, not draftees. The love of Christ constraineth, compels me. We should all be working out of love for Him and each other, in loving and voluntary cooperation. The Lord can't make you choose to obey His commandments. You have got to want to follow, as otherwise you're going to find some way to disobey. If people love the Lord, then they will want to please Him and do what's right. What the Lord looks on is not just all your hard work, but your motives. Why are you doing what you do? Is it because you have that same driving passion that motivated the Apostle Paul and all the apostles and the martyrs and every great man or woman of God? That irresistible compassion which should motivate every child of God in everything they do, everything they say, everywhere they go, with everybody? The Apostle Paul summed it up in these few famous and ringing words which have cried out from the heart of every true Christian in every good deed he has ever done, and for which indeed he is willing to die. The love of Christ constraineth me. If you don't have compassion, if you don't have love, if you're not serving because the love of Christ constraineth me, then you're missing the whole point of it all. We are supposed to be working and serving and ministering for one reason: love for God and love for lost souls and others. We are supposed to be sincerely, honestly concerned about them, not just doing some kind of formal, mechanical job, going through the motions without the power thereof. What is the power? Love. And if you haven't got that power, you haven't got anything. May the love of Christ constrain us all. For the greatest of these is love. David Brant Berg. Saying yes to the divine likeness. How do we first see and then practice our unique image of God, our original goodness? Paul gives us an answer. He says, there are only 3 things that last: faith, hope, and love. From the very beginning, faith, hope, and love are planted deep within our nature. Indeed, they are our very nature. But we have to awaken, allow, and advance this core identity by saying a conscious yes to it and drawing upon it as a reliable and absolute source. Image must become likeness. Our saying yes to such implanted faith, hope, and love plays a crucial role in the divine equation. Human freedom matters. Mary's yes seemed to be essential to the event of incarnation. God does not come uninvited. God and grace cannot enter without an opening from our side, or we would be mere robots. God does not want robots, but lovers who freely choose to love in return for love. And toward that supreme end, God seems quite willing to wait, cajole, and entice. Richard Rohr.
You've been listening to an audio production by The Family International. Visit us at www.thefamily.org.